John Duquesne, and from that Angel Air compilation, The Many Sides of 1967 to 1980, Don't Be a Dummy. Now, how do you see Angel Air existing now in the next few years? Because I hope we're talking, you know, maybe in 5 or 10 years and celebrating the 20th, 25th anniversary. You've embraced downloads, as we've mentioned. You still issue CDs. You license your tracks. Which side of the business do you see expanding now?
I see more and more income coming from downloads, streaming, sync licenses. Sync licenses, for your listeners, are when a track is placed in a film or in a game, etc. That's what we call a synchronization license. Sadly, I think the demographics of our market means that some people are giving up buying CDs, some people haven't got any room left, some people can't find what they want. I think once the high street sorts itself out, I see in the next 5 years perhaps more and more specialist shops, if you like, coming to the fore, because I mean there is only HMV left, and we've just seen the press with HMV getting the support from the majors. There's no support there from the independents, because the support they're giving, I understand, is longer credit terms, so they've got less bank borrowing. But HMV has a massive bank debt of about £150 million. Now, it's got to service that and repay it out of selling whatever it sells. And I think HMV, if it continues to prosper, will sell less and less CDs. And their chief executive, Simon Fox, I think his quote in the Financial Times was, within 5 years, he won't be selling CDs. So I think in that vacuum that you've got to say, and you're talking to me about the next 5 years, I think you'll see, to use the American term, more mom-and-pop specialists, vinyl and CD shops coming to the fore again. Because they went, there are some left. There's a book, a wonderful book that Graham Jones wrote called The Last Shop Standing, and he's just producing a film called Last Shop Standing, which deals with the independents that are left. When we started 15 years ago, there were about 2,000 independent record shops in the UK. My understanding is now we're down to about 250. But I think in the next 5 years, that number will double again.
Now that's interesting, because that surprises me, because I thought maybe you'll just have the whatever specialist shops are left, and you know, because the climate's changed. But you actually see that there'll be an increase in the independent shops.
Well, I do. I mean, yes, Amazon. I mean, Amazon is now the largest single seller of Angel Air CDs, and that's fine, and that's great, and long may it continue. But the problem is you have to know what you want. You have to go on and target it. What I think people miss still is the ability to go into the record racks, browse through, find a little gem they've not seen before, etc., and then buy it. And that, I think, is the secret of the independent record shop. You know, if I go into an independent record shop, I always come out with more than I wanted when I went in, because I've found these little gems. And, you know, I buy CDs. I don't buy vinyl anymore, but I do still buy CDs, and I find things. I think, yeah, I'll have that, etc. And perhaps I knew it was available, and I knew which website I could get it off, but it's not quite the same as sort of browsing through the racks and then finding something that, if you like, lights your fire. I mean, if you look at the charts now, I mean, you look at especially with the youth market, the number that just download, etc. I mean, the singles market, as I'm sure you know, the singles market is virtually all downloads. I've got two children, and they won't like me calling them children. One's 28, one's 30. And they've stopped buying CDs. They purely download. But the interesting thing is, of course, whereas you and I, we would buy initially vinyl or a CD, and we'd look at it, and we'd have it as part of our possession. Now I can see why artists, if they fall out of favor very quickly, because there's nothing to tie you into a brand loyalty. Yes, you may like a certain track, but then you don't buy their next album. You say, oh, I've listened to that, now I don't like it. So, in answer to your question, I think that there still will be a continuing income stream from the sales of CDs, but I think they will continue to get less and less. But the interesting thing of our market, we find we have to release it on CD to generate the interest. So I still see in the next 5 years us carrying on releasing CDs.
Oh, that's very good. And am I right in saying, Peter, that pretty much the whole catalogue is still available as far as the CDs go?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we work on the principle that if we can continue to sell it and generate income, we continue with it. Some things do come to the end of the natural life and the sales are sort of petered off and we do take them out. But I would say out of sort of 400 releases, we've still got about 350, 360 titles in catalogue. And of course that helps drive our overall business, you know, because it means that we've just, because of Medem, which was last week, we just picked up a new distributor in Austria. We hadn't had one for 3 years. The previous one had ceased trading. But all of that is part of the fact that we have a large catalogue. They know that they can sell back catalogue of certain items as well as new releases. And the two and two make five. It's a synergy. Of course, we've got a 4,000 square foot warehouse here with any time about 150,000 CDs in stock, and we're always short of space.
Now, finally, if you were thinking of setting up a record label in 2012, as you did 15 years ago, I mean, would you do it all again in the present economic climate?
No, not the way we've done it. I mean, you think with 400 titles and the cost of those titles, I mean, set up Angel Air today, you'd need to invest £500,000. Because, you know, just to put the releases out, the artwork, the mastering, etc., and you'd say, well, where can I invest that £500,000 and make a better return? So from a business point of view, no, you wouldn't do it. But you would do certain things, and that's why I say I smile when I look at the press now and they say, okay, we're going to do 50-50 deals, but we want total integration. They want a share of their touring income. They want a share of their merchandise income with the newer bands, etc. Because that's where you can make a lot of money. If you've got bands that have diehard followings, that people want to wear their name and logos on their T-shirts and things, you make more money out of one T-shirt than you do out of five CDs. You know, because, and as you know, the bigger the group, the more money the T-shirt costs. And, you know, I look at the Rolling Stones, which is, you know, my favourite group of all time, and when they next play, whatever the tickets cost, I will go and I will buy, whether it's a hat or a T-shirt, no matter what it costs, because it's part of the culture. Make Mick and Keith even richer.
Well, it's been great catching up with you, Peter, on this, and it's a great achievement. In sort of recent times, I can't think of any other label that's really comprehensively progressed to this position, you know, from when you set up and developed over a period of 15 years. So here's to the next, at least the next 10 or maybe hopefully 15 years.
Well, I just had my 60th birthday, so let's do to the next 10. I think it'll be over and out.
But I'm sure you're retaining your, I can tell actually, your enthusiasm for music. It's evident, and I think that has to be one of the key ingredients to the long-term success.
Thank you, David, and yeah, we look forward to being here another 10 years at least.